Chapter 24. Richard's eyes opened. I think someone is coming. Sister Verna was sitting on the other side of the small fire, writing in the little book she kept tucked behind her belt. She looked up from under her eyebrows.
You have touched your Han, yes?
No, he admitted. His legs ached. He must have been sitting without moving for at least an hour. But I'm telling you, I think someone is coming. They did this every night, and it was no different this time. He would sit and picture the sword on a blank background and try to reach that place within himself that she said was there, but he could not find, while she watched him or wrote in her little book or touched her own Han. He had not visualized the sword on a black square with a white border since the first night. He had no desire to chance revisiting that nightmare. I'm beginning to think I'm not able to touch my Han. I'm trying my best, but it just isn't working. She drew the book close to her face in the moonlight and resumed writing.
I have told you before, Richard, it is something that takes time. You have not yet begun to have had enough practice. Do not be discouraged. It comes when it comes.
Sister Verna, I'm telling you, someone is coming. She kept writing.
And if you are not able to touch your Han, Richard, how would you know this?
I don't know. He raked his fingers through his hair. I've spent a lot of time alone in the woods. Sometimes I can just feel when someone is near.
Don't you ever know when someone is near? Haven't you ever felt someone's eyes on you?
Only with the aid of my Han, she said as she wrote.
He watched as firelight flickered across her dispassionate face.
Sister Verna, you said we were in dangerous lands. I'm telling you, someone is coming.
She leaped back through the book, squinting as she read in the dim light.
And how long have you known this, Richard?
I told you as soon as I had the feeling, just a moment ago.
She lowered the book to her lap and looked up.
But you say you did not touch your Han.
You felt nothing within yourself? You felt no power, saw no light, did not sense the Creator?
Her eyes narrowed.
You had better not be lying to me, Richard. You had better never lie to me about touching your Han.
Sister Verna, you're not listening. Someone is coming.
She closed the book.
Richard, I have known since you began your practice that someone approaches.
He stared at her in surprise.
Then why are we just sitting here?
We are not just sitting here. You are practicing reaching your Han, and I'm tending to my business.
Why haven't you said anything? You told me this land is dangerous.
Sister Verna sighed and began tucking her book back behind her wide belt.
Because they were still some distance off, there was nothing else for us to do but to continue.
You need the practice. You must keep trying until you are able to touch your Han. She shook her head in resignation.
But I suppose you are too agitated now to continue. They are still 10 or 15 minutes away. We may as well begin packing our things.
Why now? Why didn't we leave as soon as you sensed them?
Because we had been spotted.
Once we have been discovered, there is no way to escape these people. This is their land. We would not be able to outrun them. It's probably a sentinel who has found us.
Then why do you want to pack to leave now?
She regarded him as if he were hopelessly thick.
Because we can't spend the night here after we kill them.
Richard leapt to his feet.
Kill them? You don't even know who is coming, and already you plan to kill them?
Sister Verna stood, drawing herself up straight, and peered into his eyes.
Richard, I have done my best to prevent this. Have we seen anyone else before now?
No. Even though these people cover this land like a swarm of angry ants, we have seen no one. I have led us between anyone I could sense with my Han in an effort to avoid contact. I have done my best to avoid trouble. Sometimes, even when you do your best, trouble cannot be avoided. I do not want to kill these people, but they are intent on killing us.
That certainly explained why they had been traveling such a peculiar route. Although they had been heading steadily southeast for weeks, they had done so in an odd fashion.
Without ever explaining, she had directed them first one way, then another, occasionally backtracking, but always relentlessly southeast. The barren land had become progressively rockier and more desolate. He had not bothered asking about their route because he didn't think she would tell him, and because he didn't care. Wherever they went, he was still a prisoner. Richard scratched his new beard as he started kicking dirt over the fire. It was a warm night, as most had been lately. He wondered what had happened to Winter.
We don't even know who they are yet. You can't just go killing anyone that shows up.
Richard, she clasped her hands together, not all the sisters who try to return are successful. Many are killed trying to cross these lands. In every case, there were three sisters. I am but one. Not good odds. The horses nickered and began moving about, tossing their heads and pawing their hooves. Richard strapped the baldric over his shoulder. He checked that the sword was clear in its scabbard. You were wrong, sister, not to try to get away as soon as you knew. If you have to fight, it should be because there is no other way. You didn't even try.
Hands still clasped together, she watched him. Her voice was soft but firm. These people are intent upon killing us, Richard. Both of us. If we had tried to run, this one would have alerted the others and brought hundreds, thousands to bring us down. I have not run so as to embolden this one into trying to take us himself, so we can end the threat.
I'm not killing people for you, Sister Verna.
As they glared at each other, he heard a scream, a woman's scream. He stared out into the night, trying to see into the shadows of the rocky spires, trying to see where the scream came from. He couldn't see anyone, but the screams and cries were coming closer. Richard kicked dirt over the last of the flames and sprinted to the horses, calming them with reassuring words and gentle strokes. He didn't care what she said. He wasn't killing people on her word. The woman was crazy not to want to try to escape. She probably wanted a fight, just to see what he would do. She was always watching him as if he were a bug in a box. She questioned him every time he practiced trying to touch his Han. Whatever the Han was, he hadn't been able to sense it, much less touch it or call it forth. Just as well, as far as he was concerned. Richard was starting toward the saddlebags to gather the rest of their things when a woman came running out of the night. Cloak flying behind and crying in terror, she ran headlong into their camp. She let out a wail and dashed desperately for him.
Please, she cried out. Please help me. Please, don't let them get me.
Her loose hair streamed behind as she ran. The naked fear on her face ran a shiver up Richard's spine. She stumbled as she reached him. Richard caught her frail form in his arms. Her dirty face was streaked with sweat and tears.
Please, sir,
she sobbed, looking up at him with dark eyes.
Please don't let them get me. You don't know what those men will do to me.
Richard's mind filled with the fright of remembering Kaelin being pursued by the Quads. He remembered how terrified she had been of those men and how she had spoken almost the same words.
You don't know what those men will do to me.
No one is going to get you. You're safe now.
The woman's arms came out from under her cloak, slipping around him. Her dark eyes stayed on his as he held her weight. She opened her mouth as if to speak, but instead gave a little grunt and jerked. Light seemed to flash from within her eyes. She went slack and heavy in his arms. Richard looked up into Sister Verna's unwavering gaze as she yanked the silver knife from the woman's back. Richard felt himself letting the dead weight slip to the ground. The woman slumped fluidly and rolled onto her back. The night air rang with the sound of steel as Richard drew the sword.
What's the matter with you? He hissed. You have just murdered this woman.
Sister Verna returned his glare in kind.
I thought you said you held no foolish prohibitions against killing women.
The wrath of the sword's magic pounded through him, raging to be set free.
You are mad.
He was rushing toward a lethal precipice. The sword's point rose in anger.
Before you would think to kill me, Sister Verna said in a measured tone, you had better make sure you are not making a mistake.
Richard didn't answer. He was incapable of speaking through the fury.
Look in her hand, Richard.
He looked down at the lifeless body. Her hands were covered by her heavy woolen cloak. Using the sword, he flicked the cloak back off her arm to reveal a knife still gripped in her dead fist. The point had a dark stain on it.
Did she scratch you with the knife?
Richard's chest still heaved with anger.
No. Why?
Her knife is coated with poison. All it would take is a scratch.
What makes you think it was meant for me? She was probably hoping to defend herself from the men who are chasing her.
There are no men chasing her. She is a sentry. You are always telling me to stop treating you like a child, Richard. Stop acting like one. I know about these people, how they do things. She meant to kill us.
He could feel the muscles in his jaw flex as he gritted his teeth.
We could have tried to get away when she first spotted us.
She nodded.
Yes, and we would have died. I am telling you, Richard, I know these people. The wilds are layered like an onion with different peoples, all of whom will kill us if they find us.
Had we let her reach her kind, they would have caught us and killed us. Don't let the anger of your sword close your eyes. She has a poisoned knife in her hand. She had it to your back, and she fell into your arms to be able to get close enough to use it. You foolishly let her do so. She turned a little and swept an arm behind. Where are the ones chasing her? She let the arm drop to her side. There is no one else. I could sense them with my Han if there were. She was alone. I have just saved your life. He drove the Sword of Truth back into its scabbard. You have done me no great favor, Sister Verna. He didn't know what to believe. He knew only that he was sick of magic and weary of death. What is that knife you keep up your sleeve? What's the light in their eyes when you kill with it?
It's called a Dakra. I guess it could be compared to the poison blade she was carrying. With the Dakra, it's not the wound itself that kills. The Dakra extinguishes the spark of life.
Her eyes lowered. It's a painful thing to steal a life. Sometimes it is the only way. This, tonight, was the only way to save our lives, whether you choose to believe it or not.
All I know, Sister Verna, is that you use it without hesitation, and that you didn't even try anything else.
He started to turn away.
I'm going to bury her.
Richard. She smoothed her skirt. I hope you understand, and that you don't misinterpret our actions, but when we reach the palace, we may have to take the Sword of Truth from you, for your own good.
Why? How could that be for my own good?
She clasped her hands together again. The prophecy that you have invoked, the one that says, He is the bringer of death, and he shall so name himself, is a very dangerous prophecy. It goes on to say that the holder of the sword is able to call the dead forth, call the past into the present.